That brings us to the time of the afternoon where we cross to Israel and we take the Israel Report today, brought to us by Professor Emeritus Eitan Gilboa of the Center for International Communication. Professor Gilboa, shalom lecha, and thank you for being with us on Chai FM.
Good evening. Happy to be with you.
I'm just kind of interested in a take of an Israeli on the issue that we've just been having. I just spoke to a guest from Israel. It was a woman with a kind of a masculine voice. So I said, Toda Rabba Lach, and the listener wrote in and said, but why didn't you say Lecha? And I'm thinking in Hebrew, you've got to commit. You've got to take a standpoint. You can't hide like you can in English and just use the word you. In Hebrew, it's either you feminine or you masculine. Can be troubling sometimes, I would imagine.
I certainly agree with that.
I think so too. Anyway, Prof, let's go to the stories making the news in Israel this afternoon. Let's talk about the ceasefire currently in force. What is Trump up to today? Now he's ordering the U.S. Navy to shoot and kill mine-laying boats in the Straits of Hormuz. Are the Israelis worried about this development?
Yes, Israel is worried about anything that Trump is doing these days. It's not clear whether or not he is planning another round of warfare in Iran or prepared for some kind of a compromise on major issues in a second round of negotiations in Islamabad, in Pakistan. It's possible that the threats of resuming war coming both from Tehran and Washington are designed mostly not to be implemented, but rather to affect the negotiations. It seems that both Trump and the Iranian regime wish to avoid a resumption of warfare. Although it's not clear who is calling the shots in Iran. Apparently, and we have known that for some time, there's disagreement, a basic disagreement between the Iranian leadership, although it's difficult to tell who is running. Mujtaba, the spiritual leader, has not appeared in public for a long time. There are rumors that he was badly hurt on the first hour of the attack. Yes. That eliminated Khamenei. But it's not. There are all kinds of ostensibly instructions that he is giving, but we don't know that to be effect. So perhaps there is a battle in Tehran between those who want to compromise with the United States, who want to avoid another round of hostilities, and those who couldn't care less. And there are suicide Shiites who would fight until the end. And so it's not clear what would be the chances for another round or for a successful negotiations within that round. We know that Pakistan and also Turkey and Egypt are working very hard, applying pressure primarily on Iran, telling Iran that they better come to the table in Islamabad or face an enormous American use of force that would damage or destroy economic infrastructure. Right now, Iran is losing about $500 million a day due to the American blockade. And Trump is saying it's very successful, etc. We are a little bit worried about what Trump describes as the remaining of the Iranian Navy. It seems that some percentage of that navy, especially the speedboat that could damage big boats, are still fighting that. And they have been shooting yesterday, I think, two vessels. And the Secretary of the Navy in the United States was fired during war. This is an unusual move. This comes after the Secretary of the Army was also let go. And probably Trump is not satisfied with the results on the ground, want the Navy to do a better job in the Strait of Hormuz.
I hear you. It's just not often that I've witnessed a conflict and had no understanding internally of how this is going to play out. It seems to me like we really are in a stalemate. I can't imagine for one minute Donald Trump actually putting troops on the ground. So I think that's a bluff. And I'm wondering how long the Iranians are able to withstand this naval blockade, which, as you say, is costing them, what, $500 million a day? With the economy bombed to bits with the situation it was in already in the 12-day war, how long can they withstand this kind of economic pressure?
That's an excellent question. And it seems that the Iranian regime believes it could survive the economic blockade more than Trump could survive the internal pressure on the resumption of war. That's I think, dictates much of the Iranian approach. I've also noticed that Iran is claiming to have won the war. And they are saying, we would be happy to come to Islamabad, but we won the war. And therefore, we are dictating the terms, not Trump. Trump lost the war. So this may be reflecting or not the way of thinking in Tehran. But if they do believe that they won the war or could sustain that blockade, maybe, I don't know. But there is much opposition, and it's growing, to Trump's war. There is a legal issue here inside the United States. According to the War Power Resolution of 1973, the president, as a commander-in-chief, has 60 days to conduct war without congressional approval.
Ah, interesting.
He could extend that authority for 30 more days. But there is already some pressure in Congress to force Trump's hands. And the Democrats have attempted five times to pass a legislation in Congress demanding from the president to receive approval for the war during the war. So and they have failed so far. But every time a vote like that takes place, less Republicans vote for against it. So this is, we are coming very close to the 60-day duration of the war. And so Trump is facing internal debate. He's facing other issues in the Middle East itself, cross pressure. Israel wants a decisive victory. The Persian Gulf countries, some of them want the United States to continue until Iran gives up and surrender, and some others don't want the war to resume. So you have all kinds of conflicting pressure on Trump, and it's very difficult, especially for him. You see, he is sending messages, conflicting messages all day long, too many of them, too frequently. This is his problem, because you have in a situation of war, if he had to deliver one message per day, this would be excellent. But if you post If you post messages like every other hour, and sometimes conflicting messages, and some people have been arguing, oh, this is he's doing it on purpose to somehow confuse the enemy, to confuse the Iranians.
No,
But I don't believe so.
don't believe so
It's too
either.
much.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It's too
Too much
much.
you. Prof, I want to move on to another issue in the little time that we've got left. There was this disturbance outside the Supreme Court today where there was a hearing on the need or not for a state commission of inquiry. Who are the people who were demonstrating against the court? I'm just trying to understand why anyone who was a victim of October the 7th wouldn't want a state commission of inquiry. I don't understand that.
Okay. Most of these people, if not all of them, are supporters of Bibi personally and his government. They mistrust the Supreme Court on any issue. This is the result of a campaign pursued by Netanyahu and his ministers for a long time against the Supreme Court. So the demonstrators, not the demonstration was not necessarily
What do
against the
they want,
establishment of
Prof?
the.
What do they want? Yeah, that's what I want to understand.
Well, they want to undermine the Supreme Court. That's the idea. This is what this is was what I was about to say. That it's not necessarily the issue itself. It's the
Okay.
whole Supreme Court that they are challenging, and the establishment of a committee, of a state committee of inquiry, is just the excuse, or just the case to rely on. But obviously, this government should have established that committee long time ago, and Netanyahu is refusing to establish it because he is afraid that this commission would put most of the blame for October 7 and also on the mishandling of the post-war challenges. The blame is going to be on him, and therefore he resisted the establishment of that committee for a long time. So a number of organizations in Israel went to the Supreme Court to force the government to establish such a committee. Netanyahu wants a government established, not a state established, by a government established committee of inquiry.
You can't judge yourself.
That's right, but even that is not moving forward. So when asked in the Supreme Court about the preparations or the promotion of that committee, there was no convincing answer. The leading judge in that discussion today perhaps suggested that it's a lost case, and maybe the next government should establish that
Yes,
committee of
and
inquiry.
yeah, I just,
I doubt very much if the Supreme Court, which is under attack all the time, would make a decision on this issue. I think they will say to those who demanded that they intervene that we are 6 months before election day, so this issue will remain to the next government to do. But I can tell you also from all kinds of debates that are going on today that the opposition leaders are saying that if they win the elections, the first thing they would do is to establish that
the Commission of
state committee
Inquiry.
of inquiry.
Last issue that I want you to address for me today. I've just got to translate live from Channel 12 News in Hebrew. Mechdal b'chel avir. There is a failure in the Air Force. Chayalim masru meida. Soldiers provided information al matosei krav le'Iran about warplanes to Iran. Never in my lifetime have I read about Israelis betraying Israel to the extent that I've read during this war against Iran. What does this say about the cohesiveness of Israeli society that soldiers are providing Iran with information concerning fighter jets?
This is unbelievable. And this is not the first case. There have been a number of cases of Israelis who have been approached by the revolutionary Iranian guards to provide information. First, on small things, things that are not really damaging Israel's national security, like posting a poster somewhere or starting a fire somewhere, and they do it for money. And if I had been there, you would have asked for $1 million. They receive small amounts of money. The case that you have just cited is terrible because it's inside the military. Two technicians at the Air Force. Two technicians. First of all, they supplied pictures. I'm sure that this is very serious matter. In the last year or so, there were too many cases. I don't know, perhaps 10 or 20 cases of Israelis who were tempted by small amounts of money, $1,000 here, $2,000 there, to provide useful information to Iran. And this is the security organizations are making an effort to catch them. But this is not easy. It's a combination of people who are in a bad economic situation. Not the technicians of the Air Force, excluding them, but people who are in bad economic situations, easy money, and they are being caught at internet platforms.
Professor Dubois, we've got to leave it there. I'm out of time. I need to go to news in about 15 seconds. Thank you for your input this afternoon.